I saw Pastor Dwayne Vanderklok this week, and I told him we were starting a new series titled Mission Possible this morning, and he said, "You gonna have Tom Cruise there?" I said, "Who needs Tom Cruise when I'm there?" So yeah, we couldn't get Tom Cruise, so you'll have to settle for me. Well, as promised, we're starting a new series today titled Mission Possible. Mission Possible. You know, each and every one of us are called to a mission, and really it's to make disciples. And so this morning, I want to start this series and really encourage us and help us to understand that God has called us. He's given us gifts to succeed in what he's called us. I love those movies, not only the Mission Impossible movies, but you look at the 007 movies and James Bond and all these. And they always have these gadgets and these things that help you to succeed on your mission. But you know, the Lord has given us the Holy Spirit and all the gifts that we'll need to be able to succeed in the call that he's placed on our lives. We're really secret agents, if you will, for the kingdom of heaven. And this morning, let me just say, your mission, should you accept it, is to make disciples. And this pulpit will self-destruct in 10 seconds. But should we accept it? You know, we have the decision to make. And I'm afraid this morning, as I start the series, that so many Christians don't accept the challenge to be that secret agent for God. Matter of fact, sometimes I think we're way too secret. Come on, somebody, help me out. But, you know, we have got to fulfill our mission. And, you know, you look at these movies like the Mission Impossible movies and things, and from the time that they get their assignment, the rest of that movie, the rest of that story, the rest of that book, whatever, and even if you really are a secret agent, somebody who travels, somebody who fights for the defense of this country or whatever, and, you know, those kinds of things, when you get your mission, all that matters is that mission. And you sleep, you eat, you drink that mission until you accomplish it. But again, this morning, I fear that most of the church doesn't really view that mission so important, that we're more concerned with the things of this life. And the thing is, you and I will only succeed, and if you think of even the Mission Impossible movies, they put their lives in danger for the greater cause. And the only way that you and I will succeed is if we die to ourselves, take up our cross daily, and serve Jesus Christ. And so really, to be a disciple and to make disciples, you and I have got to realize that our comfort, that's a hard message in the United States of America because we're built on comfort. But our comfort is really not what's important. Now, not that God doesn't care about us, but God wants us to be successful. And listen, if my comfort is more important than my next door neighbor going to hell, then something's wrong. All right. It says in Matthew 28:19, "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all things," say all things, "that I've commanded you, and lo, I am with you always, even to the end of the age." Well, Jesus set the example. He was more than an example. We know that. He's the only one, Son of God, born of a virgin, who could really die for the remission of sins and take our sin away, make us holy before God, a righteous God, making us as righteous as himself. But more than that, Jesus lived as an example, and he spent 3.5 years, roughly, with 12 men who changed the world. Changed the world so much that we mark our calendars by before and after Christ. And Jesus, 3.5 years, his public ministry, approximately. All he did was pour into those 12, and of course, there were the multitudes, and there were others. But there were 12 that he spent most of his time with, and those 12 have really changed the world as we know it. Matthew 16:24 says, "Then Jesus said to his disciples, if anyone desires," are you an anyone today? "If anyone desires to come after me, let him deny himself and take up his cross and follow me." I think sometimes in churches, and certainly I've been guilty of this, so as a pastor, we just say, well, you know, just raise your hand, pray a prayer, and you'll be born again, you'll be on your way to heaven. Now listen, that's true. That is true. Jesus, his completed work is very easy to receive, his completed work. But really, to take up the cross and be a disciple, it's going to cost you everything. But listen, you know, your first thought is, well, what about my life? No, Jesus tells us that when we live our life not abandoning it, that we'll lose it. But when we abandon our life for his cause, then we'll find our life. I wasn't born again. I didn't start serving God till I was 31 years old. And so really, I'm a living testimony of the fact that, boy, when you make Jesus Christ Lord of your life, your whole life changes. I'm not here to brag on myself because I'm just a normal person. A few more holes today after yesterday's event, but a normal person. If you weren't here yesterday, the Conquerors did a great job. We saw so many decisions for Christ, and it was awesome. They, They laid me on a bed of nails. If you don't know who the Conquerors International Strength Team is, they do, I mean, these guys, you know, they're huge. And they just break bricks, and they bend steel, and they break baseball bats, all kinds of stuff. And they tried to break me, but hey, I'm here today. They put me on a bed of nails. What they didn't tell me is that they were going to sandwich me between two beds of nails. And then they were going to lay 285 pounds of Scott Smith on me. And then he was going to bench another 265 pounds, roughly. Not to mention the weight of the plate that was on me. So close to 600 pounds. I saw all you praying. I mean, I saw some pictures they put online, and I can see all you around the stage going, my pastor. I mean, so many of you, but I'm thinking of Andrew. As soon as I got done, Andrew comes up, you want to drink a water, pastor? Like, you know, everybody's, I said, I was afraid to because I didn't want to get my shirt wet. Okay, but. But see, Jesus, like I said, spent 3.5 years. He taught those men to lay their lives down. And every one of them gave their lives for Christ. The question is this morning, would I give my life for Christ? Would I serve him? Now, today just happens to be, and, you know, sometimes I'm not the sharpest bulb in the pack, but do you know that today is Pentecost Sunday? Some of you may know that, some of you may not. I didn't plan this series for that. We just came off that other series, Supernatural, and I was wanting to get into talking about some of the gifts of the Spirit a little more, elaborate on some, and we're going to do that in this series. But today is Pentecost Sunday, so what an appropriate day to talk about what the Holy Spirit has done to empower us to be able to fulfill the mission that God has called us. But Jesus said to fulfill our mission, Luke 14:33, likewise, whoever of you does not forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Forsake all that he has cannot be my disciple. Now, that doesn't mean that you ignore your family. That doesn't mean you ignore things in your life. But what he's teaching us is if anything in my life takes precedence or importance over him, I will not fulfill this call. And we see that. It pans out all over the place. When we, Jesus even talks about the parable of the seed and the sower and how he sows the seed. And the thing is, most people with the cares of this life and all these things that happen don't really get the ultimate harvest or fulfill their mission. Matthew 4, let's take a look at Jesus calling some of his disciples. And the call has not changed, by the way. Verse 18. And Jesus, walking by the Sea of Galilee, saw two brothers, Simon, called Peter, and Andrew, his brother, casting a net into the sea, for they were fishermen. Then he said to them, follow me, and I will make you fishers of men. They immediately, say immediately, left their nets, followed him. Notice, he didn't say, come on, lift your hands, pray a prayer, and then we'll all go home and make it in time for lunch. That's not what Jesus said. Jesus said, leave your life. This is for today, all right? It's for today. And so many times we think, well, that was the apostles, and that's for pastors and teachers and pastors and preachers and evangelists and all those gifts. We're going to talk about those gifts too through the course of this, so you realize why those gifts are given, all right? But those gifts are given so that we can fulfill our mission. He says, immediately they left their nets and followed him. Going on from there, he saw two other brothers, James the son of Zebedee and John his brother, in the boat with Zebedee their father, mending their nets. He called them and immediately. They left their boat and their father, and they followed him. They left the boat and their father and followed them. See, I like this passage here because it shows us that immediately something changed in their lives. And I'll never forget when I made Jesus Christ the Lord of my life 31 years ago, my life totally changed. It's not been the same ever since. Has not been the same. And I don't believe it ever will be. Now, it could be if I let it. All right? How many know the cares of this life? They can get in. They can trap you. They can steal from you. But if we make the kingdom of heaven of the most importance, leave our comfort zone, and live life on a mission to fulfill what Jesus Christ has called us to do, then we're going to fulfill our mission because he empowers us. When you lay your life down, you will take it up. Matthew 8:18. And when Jesus saw great multitudes about him, he gave a command to depart to the other side. Then a certain scribe came and said to him, teacher, I will follow you wherever you go. And Jesus said to him, foxes have holes, and birds of the air have nests, but the Son of Man has nowhere to lay his head. Then another of his disciples said to him, Lord, let me go first and bury my father. But Jesus said to him, follow me and let the dead bury their own dead. Now, at first glance, you may think, well, Jesus is uncaring. That is not the case. What happens is when Jesus calls us, we all have an excuse. I've heard some people say, well, see, they'll take this scripture that, you know, foxes have holes, but Jesus had no place to live, and say, poor Jesus, he was so poor. Now, on the other hand, I don't believe that Jesus was the wealthiest person in his neighborhood. Come on. I mean, I think that we have made a mistake on both sides. Really, we have. All right? Jesus has no lack. I mean, when you go to a fish to get the money you need for the temple tax, how many know? That is better than an ATM. Because I don't think fish charge interest. All right. So Jesus had no lack. Don't misunderstand me. And we've gotten off one side or the other just to get messed up in this doctrine that really is not what the Bible teaches. But what the Bible does show us here is not that Jesus didn't have a place. He didn't know. Why? Because he was concerned with fulfilling the mission that his Father sent him on. And when he called his disciples, he didn't expect anything less from them. And he doesn't expect anything less today. All right? And I'm afraid what we've done in the body of Christ is we have just, and when I say we, I include me as a pastor. I am not up here saying, boy, our church is the best and this church does this wrong and this church. Listen, this is all of us. We have created a place to keep people comfortable and to entertain them. And we have failed to preach this message. Because really, being a disciple is about leaving my comfort zone, accepting the mission of what Christ has called me to do. Living a life with Jesus and following him in obedience. But listen to the promise he gives us in Mark 10:29. So Jesus answered and he said, assuredly, I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or father or mother or wife or children or lands for my sake in the Gospels who shall not receive 100-fold now in this time, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and lands with persecutions. Listen, there will be trouble. But Jesus said, be of good cheer, I've overcome the world. All right? And in the age to come, eternal life. So the eternal life is part of the package. But we forget about the rest of the package. Help me out, somebody. It's not just about eternal life. He is going to give us, when we lay our lives down, he's going to give us more of those things that we willfully lay down. Now, I mentioned 31 years of age, 23 years ago, I was born again. Had this happen in my life. And I will never forget my family. I grew up in a somewhat religious family. We went to church just enough for me to understand that, you know, God was there, but I didn't know he wanted a relationship with me. And when I messed up, I was afraid that he was just going to judge me and punish me. But when I got born again, I will never forget, my family, my friends as well, but my family in particular said, is that all you do is live at that church? Is that all you do? Is that? And we're like, yeah. I mean, that, you know, now listen. And I'm not trying to get you busy. I am not. Believe me, we're respectful of that stuff. But the point I'm trying to make is, it's what mattered to us. And now sometimes people will say, well, that's because you were called to be a pastor. Listen, I have friends that I've had for 23 years. Not all of them are called into the fivefold ministry. Again, we'll explain what that is in the course of this series. But pulpit gifts will just say, that to teach the body of Christ. Not all of them are called to do that. But I have seen businessmen and women who have lived this way and their businesses have prospered. They have helped mission trips. They've gone on mission trips. They've changed their neighborhoods. They have developed businesses that have changed not only their communities, but have given money abroad. On and on and on I could go. When you live your life this way, on a mission, you can't help but succeed because Jesus told us when we did this that he would give us back and multiply it, the things that we lay down. But see, what we think in our culture is, well, I'm just too busy. If I just talk to somebody across the street, well, then they're going to watch me and they're going to know that I'm not perfect. You know, it's so funny. You know, the devil will use that and you won't share someone across the street or someone you work with because you think, well, they're going to know I'm not perfect. That is your best witnessing tool. It's your best witnessing tool. I use it all the time. I am living proof that you do not have to get your life right. Come on, somebody. That's a good place to say amen. Thank you. You say, you know, but God loves you too, just the way you are. What we've done is we have turned Christianity into a bunch of rules and regulations, and we have forgotten the gospel of Christ. Jesus says, come unto me, all you labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. He didn't say, come unto me, and boy, you better put that bottle down, you better get rid of that cigarette, and you better stop chewing. And if you're smoking dope, you better get rid of that bag you got. That isn't what he said. He said, come to me. Come to me. Now, of course, he doesn't want us doing those things. Come on. He doesn't. Because they're not good for our lives. Remember, we talked a couple weeks ago, the reason the sin quenches the Holy Spirit in our lives, and if you didn't hear the last message, get online, you can listen to it. Supernatural is titled. The way that we quench the Holy Spirit is sin, because sin hurts people. And God loves people. And so what happens is we don't communicate as clearly. We don't hear his voice. That's why sin needs to, and he'll clean us up, by the way. He will clean us up. If you want to know more about that process, listen to last Wednesday's. That's online, too. I mean, just come to church. You hear a lot of this, all right? Sometimes it's hard to stay on track with one message to the next. But the thing is, if you and I would just realize, look, I am supposed to represent Jesus and the fact that he is the perfect one who died for me so that I don't have to be perfect. Therefore, he is calling you or whoever the person is that you're supposed to witness to. But you know, when you lay your life down, you live on a mission and you get involved and live your life witnessing to people, getting involved in church, getting involved in ministry. I just want to say this. If you helped yesterday in that outreach event, thank you so much. What a blessing you are for helping. And if you didn't, that's okay, because you didn't have the time, whatever. We understand. But it's so nice to have volunteers who take up the slack and help with those things. But beyond that, you and I have got to realize that we are called to change the environment that we live in. Our neighborhoods, the places that we work, the places that we frequent, the stores we go to. We've talked about this so many times, but I'm not going to get off it because this is what we're about. The question is this morning, will you trust him? Will you trust him? I want to add this scripture. I didn't have it in my notes, but this is out of the Amplified Bible, Zach. Amplified Bible, Philippians 3, verse 8. I'm going to give him a chance to look that up. Amplified Bible, Philippians 3, verse 8. And just put it up when you get there. I'll start reading. Amplified Bible. I'll just start. It says, yes, furthermore, I count everything as loss compared to the possession of the priceless privilege, the overwhelming preciousness, the surpassing worth, and supreme advantage of knowing Christ. That's powerful. That is powerful. Jesus, my Lord, and of progressively becoming more deeply and intimately acquainted with him, of perceiving and recognizing and understanding him more fully and clearly. Wow. For his sake, I have lost everything and considered it all to be mere rubbish, refuse, dregs, in order that I may win or gain Christ, the Anointed One. When you look at that, you say, Paul the Apostle, well, he was just a fanatic. Yeah, that's my point. If you live this way, you can't help but be a fanatic, and we're supposed to be fools for Christ. Come on, somebody. You and I should be living in a way where we are living and saying, look, my life is all about Jesus, knowing him more intimately, allowing him to empower me more fully so that I can reach out and make a difference in my world. Now, as I mentioned, this is Pentecost Sunday, and he's given us a promise. Jesus has given us a promise. He called it the promise of the Father, of his Holy Spirit, which would empower us and give us all that we need to succeed in this mission that he's called us to. So what I want to do, again, this isn't in my notes. I'm so sorry, Zach. I gave that young man 11 pages of notes. I told him I probably wouldn't get through them all, and now I'm adding notes that I didn't give him. So I'm sorry, but thank you. Let's hear it for Zach back there. I love these tech guys. They do an awesome job. Now I'm going to read this out of the NLT, and this is Acts chapter 2, verse 1, in the New Living Translation, Acts 2, 1. In celebration of Pentecost, I wanted to read this, and we're going to talk about the Holy Spirit's ministry today. On the day of Pentecost, all the believers were meeting together in one place. Suddenly, there was a sound from heaven like the roaring of a mighty windstorm, and it filled the house where they were sitting. Then, what looked like flames or tongues of fire appeared and settled on each one of them, and everyone present was filled with the Holy Spirit and began speaking in other languages or tongues as the Holy Spirit gave them ability. And so what we see here is the first coming of the Holy Spirit, or Pentecost Sunday. But you know, the Holy Spirit hasn't stopped. The Holy Spirit is still ministering. Some denominations even say, well, when the Word of God comes, because the Bible says, when that which is perfect is come, that these gifts will cease. That is not what it's talking about. It's not talking about the Word of God. The Word of God has always been. Come on, somebody. Always. It's not going to come. It's been here from the beginning. The Bible tells us in the book of John that the Word was there in the beginning. It's always been. It's God. It's part of God. Jesus is the Word. Come on, somebody. Amen. Now, we have it in a translated form, but that is not what the Bible's saying. It's like, okay, so the word which was from the beginning, which is in fact God, once it's translated by men, then it's going to be perfect. Just think about how silly that sounds. All right, I'm just trying to help us, okay? Now, I'm not saying that the Word of God is not the infallible Word of God. I believe it was translated, directly given by the Holy Spirit, but it wasn't made perfect just when it got written. Help me out, all right? It was made perfect because the author and the finisher of it is perfect, all right? So that doctrine is what I'm saying cannot be true. Make no mistake, I'm not saying the Word of God is not important because you know it is and we teach it here, all right? But the Holy Spirit came and he fell on them and it changed their lives. Changed their lives so much, people outside said, are they drunk at 9 o'clock in the morning? Are they drunk? How many know when you get drunk, it changes your life? Come on, hello? Hello? I'll never forget, just this winter, Trish and I are driving downtown Front Street. We saw this poor guy come out of a bar. It's like 1 o'clock, 2 o'clock in the afternoon, and I had a flashback because that was my life 23 years ago, all right? Alcoholic. Didn't matter what time of day. I just figured it's noon somewhere, and we'd start drinking. This young man came out of a bar, and at first I thought he was admiring the car that when we're just going, you know, less than 5 miles an hour down on Front Street. There was some traffic. He comes out. And he tries to miss this car. I thought he was admiring it. It was a beautiful Camaro that was sitting there. I don't know why they were driving it in the winter, but they were. And it's sitting there, and he comes out, and he walked around it, and he just stumbled and fell and almost fell right under our car. And then I saw the bartender come out and say, we'll get him a cab. It's like, oh, my God. How many know, when you drink and get drunk, it changes your life. That guy, I mean, he probably didn't remember that the next day. But the Bible says, don't be drunk in which there's dissipation, but be filled constantly with the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God should be changing our life. And if the Spirit of God has not changed your life, one of two things. You either don't know the Spirit of God, or you're not allowing him into your life to start to lead you, to guide you, and to fill you. All right? Acts 1:8, it says, but you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be witnesses to me in Jerusalem and in Judea and Samaria, and to the ends of the earth. This is Jesus saying this. It's recorded as Jesus speaking it. That the Holy Spirit comes so that you and I can be witnesses in Traverse City, the state of Michigan, the United States of America, and to the ends of the world. I mean, it needs to start at home. I've said that before. So many people think, well, I'm called to be a missionary over here and over there and this and that. Get it right at home first. Go ahead and go and prepare and believe God for that, but get it right where you are. Live on mission where you are, all right? And most of us are called to stay where we are anyway. You realize that, right? And you know the United States of America, and maybe I said this, but I want to drive it home. The United States of America is now, there are countries sending missionaries to the United States of America. That ought to make the church feel good. Why? Because we haven't got it done. That's why. What we've done is we've created religious institutions and we've heaped laws on people. Tell them if you live this way, and you're a good person, then you're fine. And then we come to church, no matter what our setting is, it could be one like this, and the priest blesses us and we go home. That's not what Jesus died for. No. Jesus died to set us free from that mentality so that we could have a relationship with God through his Holy Spirit. Acts 1:4 says, and being assembled together with them, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you have heard from me. So they sat there as we celebrate this Pentecost Sunday. They sat there and they waited. And we read it how the Holy Spirit came as a rushing mighty wind. Jesus said, wait, tarry. Let me ask you this morning, when was the last time you waited in prayer on the Lord? Where you cried out for more of his presence? When was the last time you hungered and thirst, where you went without food? Well, many of you probably in February, because we fasted as a church. But when was the last time you laid something down, turned off your favorite TV program, and said, Lord, I just need more of your presence. If I don't get more of your Holy Spirit, I'm going to die. That should be our heart's cry, folks. It really should. Now, I can't do this for you, but the thing is, you say, well, I've never experienced that. Well, you can. Okay, it can start today. It can start today. But like Jesus said, follow me. Lay your life down. Follow me, Jesus says. Hunger for me. Desire me. Don't let the cares of this life keep you from relationship with me so that I can empower you to reach out and to do what I've called you to do. I mean, we should live our lives with the idea that Because this is true, by the way. The place that God has placed you, do you realize that if you and I don't do what we're supposed to do, those people may not ever come to Christ? The people we live with, live next to, work with. Say, well, God will raise up somebody else. Yeah, other countries coming to this. I mean, you know, think about that. But that's right where most of us live. And I'm not trying to guilt trip anybody today. Please don't misunderstand me. That just wouldn't be fair. But I want us to realize that we have something to do. Our life is not about, I mean, we talked, I think it was Wednesday, we talked about really the religion of our time is consumerism. I mean, you know, if you dress this way, if you have this kind of house, you drive this kind of car, you drink this kind of beer, and once in a while you can have this kind of bourbon. Come on, somebody. I mean, it's crazy. And you may not even, maybe you've never drank or had a temptation with drinking, but watch commercials, all right? Okay, Diet Coke, we'll just say that, all right? If you do all these things and invest wisely in your 401k, your life will be just like everyone else, living the American nightmare. Because you've probably got too much debt to do all that stuff. Hello. Hello. You wonder why we have all this debt, why we have all this consumerism, why we have all these things, is because those are the things, oh, you see over and over in Scripture where God just turns people over to the things they desire. You see this in the Old Testament. It's talked about in the New Testament. We talked about this Wednesday. I'm not going to read the Scripture. Read Romans chapter 1 when you get home. All right? We're not going to turn there. God just says, okay, that's what you want. Because what happens is we become like what we worship. And I'm embarrassed to say the church looks like what it worships, and it doesn't look like Jesus. I'm not talking about perfection. I'm not talking about, hey, you got it all right, you know. I got rid of all the sin in my life. I'm talking about serving Jesus, falling in love with him. Listen, if you fall in love with the Lord, if you make him the most important thing in your life, you can't mess this up. You can't. We're measuring the wrong things, and we're chasing the wrong things. When we should be chasing Jesus and let him measure. Because we can't measure anyway. As soon as we start to measure things, we're eating of the tree of the fruit of knowledge of good and evil, and that's our problem from the beginning anyway. Come on. Seek me and live. That's what the Bible says repeatedly. Seek me and live. In the Garden of Eden, Adam and Eve could eat of the tree of life freely. Seek me and live. Seek me and live. But what do? We chase religion. Rather than the tree of life, which is Jesus. All through the book of Acts, you start to see how the disciples live their lives out. And we're going to spend a lot of time over the next few weeks in this series looking at the book of Acts, because it shows us. And we'll talk about some personal testimonies, and we're going to give you some ideas on how you can live your life differently and fulfill this mission. We're going to be on this series probably for a little while. I never stay on series very long, do I? I think the last one was finally I just figured, you know what? I might as well teach on the Holy Spirit in this one and we'll just change titles, okay. But I want to look at a couple of times where the Holy Spirit fell, and we talked briefly about this a couple of weeks ago, but that was during our family service, and we loved having that family first service. It was just the first week, awesome service, but we didn't have as long a message. But I want to read some of the things you see in the book of Acts that show what happens, and they preached the gospel. And then there were some baptisms I want to talk about. And finally, just coming to the baptism of the Holy Spirit, we're going to talk about the gifts and how those operate in the body of Christ. So you won't want to miss the next couple weeks to come. But Acts 2:38, listen what it says. And then Peter said to them, repent and let every one of you, what does repent mean? It says, think or change your way of thinking. That's what repent means. Change the way, just turn it completely around. Stop at 180 degrees, don't go 360 and keep going the same way. Come on. And that's what so many people do. Well, I turned around. All right, we just keep going the same way. Turn around the opposite way. Be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sin, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Spirit, for the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are far off, and as many as the Lord our God will call. See, you see three baptisms here. And again, we talked briefly on it 2 weeks ago, but I didn't want to leave it with just a brief message. I want to talk about this in detail over the next couple of weeks. What we see there is repent. That's really the baptism of salvation or baptism into the body. When you become born again, you are baptized into Christ. When you receive Christ as your Savior, you receive Him as your Lord, your life changed. Behold, old things pass away. All things, say all things become new. Then he says, be baptized in the name of Jesus. That's water baptism, you see. And you see this all through the book of Acts. Then he says, receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Let me tell you this morning, Holy Spirit does not force Himself upon you. You need to receive it as a gift. You know, if I buy you a gift and I bring it and, John, I got a gift for you, and I say, here, John, I bought this for you. What do you have to do? Take it. There you go. It was an easy question. Take it. And John got it right, by the way. You got to take it. It's a gift. But so many people don't take it. And the reason I know that is I'm going to ask you this question. Has your life changed since you said you knew Christ? Has your life changed throughout your relationship with Christ? Our children were all brought up in a Christian family. Trish and I were both saved. I was saved by my oldest son, Tony. He was up here singing. Tony, wave. He was up here. He was born before I got saved, but he was one and a half years old. So they've grown up in a Christian home. And so they've learned this. They got saved at an early age. But every one of them, all three of our kids, Tony, Selena, and then Aaron's around here somewhere, all three of them have had life-changing experiences at different points in their life. They have. They don't get saved again. I don't care. Listen, you can call it whatever you want. We get so much doctrine. Will you just fall in love with Jesus? I mean, that's really what it is. Will you follow Jesus? Will you lay the rest of your silly life down? It don't matter anyway. Now, we need to invest and we need to take care of our family. But the best investment we can make is to make sure they're on their way to heaven and that they know how to lead somebody else to Christ. If we don't teach our kids how to lead somebody to Christ and we give them $1 million or whatever we've saved, what good does that do? I'll go buy some more beer, more bourbon, and invest in another 401k or whatever they come up with because this financial system failed. I'm just having fun because if you look at the state of this mess, it's hilarious. The things we trust in this world, it's funny. It's funny. And may I say, it saddens the heart of God. Has my life changed? I'm going to read one more instance, and then we're going to have to dismiss this morning. Acts 8:14. He says, now when the apostles who were at Jerusalem heard that Samaria had received the word of God, they sent Peter and John to them, who when they had come down, prayed for them that they might receive the Holy Spirit. For as yet He had fallen upon none of them. They had only been baptized in the name of the Lord Jesus. Then they laid hands on them and they received the Holy Spirit. Now you see here, they come down. They're already disciples. They're already saved. They already believe. I just want to show you, Holy Spirit is something you ask for. And He comes and then starts to lead. Jesus said, ask and you will receive. Knock and shall be opened unto you. Seek and you will find. Maybe I had that in the wrong order, but it doesn't matter. All right. Ask, seek, and find. A-S-K. Ask. Or ask, seek, and knock. Fine. Okay. It's what happens when you try to hurry up and finish the message. Oh, and they're already playing music for me. Thanks, John. That's it, Pastor. Okay, announcements. That's not going to help me remember, so you better bring that down just a little bit. Okay. But Jesus, if you look at that, and we've talked about it before, He's talking about the Holy Spirit, asking for the Holy Spirit, asking for the Holy Spirit. But the thing I want to point out before we dismiss this morning, notice it doesn't say that they sent Peter and John, who gave them the right hand of Christian fellowship. It doesn't say that. It says they sent them, who gave them the opportunity to receive the gift of the Holy Spirit. Why? To empower them. They needed Holy Spirit power. They had already been baptized in the name of Jesus and in water. And you see this all throughout the Scriptures. But so many times we really ignore the fact that Holy Spirit is here to guide us, to lead us. He's here for more than just leading us to Jesus the first time. He's here to be the power and the guide for everything that we're called to do. After that first initial tape burns up, how many know? Tom Cruise in the Mission Impossible movies, many times he'll get to a phone, he'll get to something, and he'll have to, whatever he has to do, sometimes he's got to hack in and talk to the guy who says, why are you calling me? Don't you know they're trying to kill you? But he's got to get in because he needs more information because things change along the way. Come on, somebody. You need the Holy Spirit. That first tape is burned up, and we stop tapping into him. And then our life looks like everybody else that we know who doesn't know Jesus. And that's right where he doesn't want us. And that's what we're trying to change. Bow your heads this morning. Father, I thank you for the word of God today. I thank you, Lord God, that it changes us because that's what you do. You change us. And Father, all my talking in the world cannot change a person's life. But Holy Spirit, you can. And so today I ask you to challenge hearts here today. I ask you, Lord God, to rekindle a flame that was burning and started to maybe fizzle out. Or, Father, a reed that was broken and bent, that today you would straighten it, that you would blow encouragement into the lives of so many. If you're here today and you say, you know, I'm going to follow just Jesus. I was really challenged today. You're saying, you know, I'm challenged. My life doesn't look like it used to. Today, I'm going to serve him. Today, I'm going to start to change some things in my life. I know Jesus, but I haven't been living like I should. If that's you, would you lift your hand? Come on. Lift your hand. Say, I'm not going to live the same. The rest of you, just living perfect. All right. All right. Good, good, good. Maybe you're here today and you don't know Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Maybe you've never made him Lord of your life. And I'm not talking about going to church. I'm talking about a relationship. If that's you today, I want to pray for you because you need to be brought into the kingdom. Not only so your sins can be forgiven, but so you can start to live your life on the mission that he's called you for. So if you're here today and you say, Pastor, I want to know that I'm on my way to heaven. I want to know that I've received the gift of Jesus Christ and his Holy Spirit. I want to know him, the author and the finisher of this faith. I want to take up my cross and follow him. If that's you today, I want to see your hand on the count of three. One, two, three. Lift your hand. Say, Pastor, pray for me. I want to know that I'm right with God. I want to know that I know him. I want to know that I know that I know. Everybody's saved. All right. May the Lord bless you and keep you, make his face shine upon you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. If you're a first-time guest here, we have something we call a